This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
We got Heather McDonald coming up, and we're going to talk about the media malfeasance with her in just a moment. But I want to bring something up here, and you and I, Sue, have talked about this a little bit off the air. We talked about it during the roundtable, but obviously it's been a very emotional week, and I'm not certainly trying to play the victim here in the story that I'm going to tell you, but I've had some rough moments with some friends. And I want to talk about it because I think it's happening to a lot of people. And there was something that happened with my friend in Las Vegas yesterday, Rick, who's not a Trump supporter, right? But we had an in-depth conversation about the election, and he gets it. He understands why people voted for Trump. He doesn't call, you know, people Nazis and all that. He gets on the phone with his mother. He's very close with his mother. He speaks with her every day. She lives out there. And she starts yelling at him because he's sort of not defending Trump, but explaining what happened.
Right, he's trying to
explain. And she just goes nuts. Now, this is someone who's very close with their mom. These things are going to rip families apart. And it's already cost me probably at least two friendships this week, right? So along those lines, this is a guy. Now, I'm going to tell you that he might not be a professor anymore. This is a guy who is a professor at Oregon. And I think he's responsible for, like, you know, recruitment. And this guy goes on social media. Now, there's a couple things about this. If you feel this way and you're in a position like that, I guess people feel comfortable enough to post it, because check this out.
I'm done crying. My sadness is over. My anger has set in. I am a very petty person, and I am very proud of that. Love it about myself, actually. And so I say this in the most disrespectful way possible.
You know, what he said there is, he says, I'm a petty person and I'm proud of it, okay? And then he says, I say this with the most disrespect possible.
I don't care if you are my family. I don't care if you're my friend. I don't care if we've been friends our entire lives. You can literally go f*** yourself if you voted for Donald Trump. If you are so sad about your groceries being expensive, get a better paying job.
Wow.
Do better in life. Get a education. Do something, because you are stupid, and I hope you go jump off of a bridge.
And, you know, I'd like to say, I'd like to have faith in humanity where I would say that that is isolated. It is not. And I have had things like that hurled at me. I'm a big boy. I can take it. I've had friendships lost over politics for the last 30 years. So it's not something I'm not used to. I'm not going to lie. It still hurts, and especially when people are close to me. But that is a sentiment, and our friends on the left are going to have to come to terms with the fact that they want to call us the people that have no empathy. Are you freaking kidding me? The amount of vitriol and hatred that I've seen from the left this week has reached an all-time high proportion, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Now, I don't include my friend Jane or Steve Butts, who was on the roundtable. There are plenty of people in my world, in all of our worlds, who are sane Democrats who voted for Kamala Harris. I don't hold that against them. I was told, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and talk about this, because I was told by someone in Columbia today that I'm very close with. You know, I spent 13 years in Columbia all told. I went to school 83 to 86, and I stayed there in media, and I worked for KFRU. Steve Moore and I, Steve is our boss right now. Mm-hmm. Steve Moore and I reshaped this little radio station in Columbia, KFRU, made it into a really good radio station. Then Steve came here to St. Louis. He brought me to St. Louis, and then I went to Milwaukee. But I had a very close friend of mine tell me today that, you know, people that you know in Columbia say to me all the time, how can you still be friends with Mark? And I'm like, two things. If someone said that to me about this is someone I've been close with for 45 years, since I was 15 years old. If somebody said that to me about a dear friend of mine because of their politics, I would say, F you. I'm friends with them because I love them dearly. They're my friends. They've been with me my whole life, and they've stuck by me. Now, I'm learning this week that is not being reciprocated, okay? But that is just stunning to me. And by the way, here's the other thing. Nobody, I don't force anyone to follow me on Twitter. All right, so this is based on what happened. They don't listen to my show. They don't know the nuance, right? But they see me on Twitter. Do I throw flames on Twitter and daggers? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm also, this is something that people have had a hard time confronting over the years. The audience should appreciate this. I'm actually paid for my opinion. It's part of my job. And Twitter is part of that format, right? It has been. And I don't behave differently. Now, did I have different feelings on Donald Trump in 2016 than I do right now? Yeah, you know what? I do. Based on the last 4 years, J.D. Vance has different opinions.
Yeah, you're not alone there.
But I am shocked at the way. And the other thing about, let me close the loop. So had I been tweeting nonstop in ways that said, oh, if you support Donald Trump, you're a Nazi, you're a misogynist, you're a racist, you're a all these things that we are, right? If I've been doing that on Twitter, you think the people in Columbia that I used to know who are the progressives would go to someone and say, how can you still be friends with Martha Bailey? Oh, that Reardon guy, man, he's really turned his life around. Look at him. He's on our side. It's disgusting. And I'm at the point where, you know, I was really hurt yesterday over some of this, Sue. And I'm at the point where I guess I have to just move on. And I'm stunned by it. Now, here's another example. This is an 82-year-old woman. You're going to see these things happen. And I hope to God the temperature is reduced because it's not going to be good around Thanksgiving. And I have some concerns about my own children because I know that they're
Can't
on different.
Can you just not talk about it?
Yes.
I don't understand why that's so
difficult. With the friend in Columbia, this is what I said. Like, dude, you don't follow me on Twitter. I don't give a.
Yeah.
You don't. My sister told me today. She goes, I don't listen to your show. I'm like, I don't care that you don't listen to my show because my mom listens to my show.
Yeah.
Judy Reardon listens and she loves me. And Dennis Reardon, right? I don't need that sister. No, but I don't care. I don't take it personally.
It's just ideas. It doesn't have to be us and them. There's no discussion.
And we have conversations here. And what we do here on this radio station, although we get pigeonholed, is nuanced. Okay. Yeah. Mark's got different opinions than I do. Andy's got different opinions. You're right. We're not all the same. And we certainly cross over into common ground on a regular basis. But check this one out, okay? And Heather's coming up here in just a couple of minutes, so I got to wrap this up. This is a woman in Washington State. It says the Edmonds Police Department. I don't know if that is a community or a county. But an 82-year-old woman was arrested because she punched two Trump supporters in the face. And they're thinking about hitting her with a hate crime. But here's what she says happened.
I want to know why you're voting for Trump. That's the only reason I want to know. And I said, because you're brown skin. And I know that that's what's going to happen to people in this country.
So just to give you a little context here, because it's hard, the audio's a little hard to hear. She's confronting two brown people, okay, and say, how are you voting for Trump when you are a person of color? You know what he's going to do to you? He's going to deport you.
The racism in this country, I hate how people are treated, okay? And so I'm wondering, why would somebody with brown skin support this man? And that was my question. And she immediately started screaming. Racism came in with her face right up to me, just screaming at the top of her voice. And my response was to push her away, and I put my hand to her chin, and I pushed on her shoulder.
So she started it with these women, and then she says they came up, and they confronted her, and she hit him in the face, basically. She's saying, I just pushed their face slightly.
Everyone has their point of views.
I realize that. But listen, so, I don't go with that any longer. When we have Nazis and racism becoming the predominant thing, turning people against each other, that to me is criminal.
Yeah, let me say something from the deepest place in my heart that I can to her and to anyone else at this point. I guess even some friends of mine, F off. We've had it. We've had it with your behavior. And if you don't realize that the behavior that you're participating in right now is a lot worse than what we're doing on the right. You can say what you can about Trump. He is a flawed person. Of course he is. I've criticized him. Some of the behavior is reprehensible. But we had two choices in this election. And you put up one of the worst candidates in presidential history. Congratulations. You did it in 2016 as well. But we're the Nazis. We're to blame. She's picking on people who are brown and legally in this country that have had enough, too. They're done with it.
Well, they are not working. She's not working with the same information. And when you watch the CNN and the MSNBC and the media tells her over and over again that Trump is Hitler and he's going to do all this, this is what happens. These
Sue,
people.
You are brilliantly walking me into Heather McDonald here because that is the. But you're you're absolutely right. It's the media that is causing this, right? So let's talk with our friend Heather McDonald. She has written a brilliant column along these lines. She's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Heather, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine. Thank you, Mark.
You know, I've been dealing, and I've kind of related some of this story. I think a lot of the people around the country are dealing with some of this. I've got some people who have taken out after me, you know, in very personal ways, friends of mine for many years because they're very confused by what happened this week. And, you know, one of the things I keep circling back on with discussions with other friends is how this is related to the media. And you wrote a great column about this, but I want to read something from the New York Times because I think it relates to what you were saying here. They wrote about this. I'm sure you probably even saw about it, where they were talking about, you know, the blame game. And they said many Democrats were considering, Heather, how to navigate a dark future with the party unable to stop Mr. Trump. Others turned inward, searching for why the nation rejected them. And this is the part that's interesting. They spoke about misinformation and the struggle to communicate the party's vision in a diminished news environment inundated by right-wing propaganda. I would argue they don't even hear themselves with the irony, Heather McDonald, when they talk about right-wing propaganda. How disconnected do you have to be right now?
One just despairs, Mark. The New York Times has simply turned itself into an arm of the Democratic Party. They inject their opinion, castigating Trump at every possibility, castigating any conservative idea as racist, as wrong. This is not their role. They were the ones that pressured the Biden administration, pressured the big tech companies to censor what they call misinformation. It's the most slippery and pernicious term, this misinformation. As you say, how can they be that unaware that one person's misinformation is another person's fact, and it is not their role to be the arbiter of that? They should present both sides fairly. So I really don't know. They are so completely shut off in their ideological purity and confidence that they're unable to step into the shoes of the other side. I mean, I'm able to do this all the time. I say to myself, well, they actually do believe that Trump is a threat to democracy. They really believe that, and a bunch of things follow from that. Maybe then if you really believe that you were facing Hitler, then there is nothing one should do to stop that. So one needs to constantly course correct and try to put oneself in the other person's shoes. The mainstream media simply do not do that.
And I don't think there's going to be any reflection after this. One of the things I said a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know that this will be a national discussion, but what Jeff Bezos wrote in The Washington Post, his newspaper, I think was pretty important. Look, it goes to everything that you wrote about in this column about the media, and it's just fallen on deaf ears. You know, they just don't know how to handle this right now. So I'm concerned because I've been a critic of the mainstream media for a long time. Now, you have people, you know, shooting back. This is what I always hear, Heather. Well, Mark, you're in the media too. Do you not understand that? I'm like, they don't understand how the Hollywood elite, the entire music business. I mean, what more help do they need to get elected? They have everything falling on their side, and they still get beat by a Nazi.
It's really quite stunning. You can imagine what this country would look like with a balanced media, because we are fighting with one hand behind our back. So it just shows the extent to which the public simply isn't buying the idea that the most important thing facing the country is breaking down traditional and biologically based scientific understanding of biological sex. You know, what kills me is that when the left is engaged in a complete demolition enterprise against every reality of human existence for the last 10 millennia, especially with regards to males and females. They are rubbing everybody's nose in a phony narrative about American systemic, endemic, ineradicable racism. They want to completely eject parents from any say in the moral development and epistemological development of their children. Again, mostly, you know, centered around these fantastical fictions about gender. And then when the right makes little tiny efforts to fight back and saying, no, actually, parents should be told when their children are choosing that they're declaring that they're a different sex. They deserve to know that the children are saying, oh, call me by different parents. That's the right gets accused of waging a culture war.
It's
no, we are minimally, barely, belatedly playing defense. It is the left that's been on a culture war for the last three decades, and yet it is only the right that gets accused. How dare you wage a culture war? This is so irrelevant.
But what's interesting is all these people that kind of surrounded Trump, whether it's RFK Jr., Elon, Mike Schellenberger, Matt Taibbi. I've read Matt Taibbi for decades in his climate change stuff in Rolling Stone. Sasha Stone, someone else I mentioned sometimes because she was a left-wing Hollywood person. She runs an...
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oscar handicapping website. All of these people have one thing in common. They didn't fall in love with Donald Trump, but they saw the media malpractice and bias that was taking place and the effort to censor social media. And that's how they all came together. My hope for the American people is to have a little bit more awareness of how they're being brainwashed by the legacy media. And I don't have a lot of hope that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I share your instincts for pessimism, Mark, but you know, it was amazing that Trump got the popular vote, and I agree. I'm not a fan of Trump's personality.
Yeah.
I think he really tears down the status of the office of the presidency. But it was clear that but certainly I voted for him because if Harris had given us another 4 years of Democratic rule, there would have been nothing left of meritocracy. White males and Asian males would have been absolutely sidelined, no matter how competent, no matter how excellent they are as scientists, as lawyers, as teachers. It would have been over for them. So one does have to deal with a limited set of options, and at some point you just have to realize, I don't want to use the same apocalyptic rhetoric that the left has used about, you know, existential elections and whatnot. But again, this is where one has to be fair. Both sides believe that quite sincerely. The left really believes it's an existential choice, and the right does. Only one is correct, although maybe we both are, because the left sees that maybe it's an existential moment for their worldview and the control they have over the culture. So your sense of, is the American people going to wake up? I don't know. And to me, to be perfectly honest, Mark, I find it frustrating that the culture issues actually were kind of sidelined. You know, Ron DeSantis.
I agree.
He was fantastic. He really gets it. Trump doesn't. Trump doesn't have a clue, basically, what's going on. But DeSantis ran on the vilification of America, on the vilification of the Constitution, on the insanity of gender ideology, and all the advisors says, "Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's all about the economy." Well, the economy is the sine qua non. But I'm sorry. These other issues, if you just turn your eyes away and put your head in the sand, they are going to destroy the possibility of stable human life.
There's really some amazing things, and maybe people might feel a little bit more open to do this right now. But like, I saw a string earlier today on the ex, formerly Twitter, from Justine Bateman, of all people, the sister of, you know, a more famous actor. But of course, she had her time in the 80s. And she said things, Heather, that we're saying right now, you know, as far as how the media was covering this. And I was actually surprised by this. She's been keeping quiet right now. But all of these things where she says, you know, this was the end of an era trying to exercise control over those who did not want to follow the crowd and has had their own ideas about what they needed to do. This dampened our culture and innovation, bringing people to even think that generative AI, a regurgitation of the past, was actually our cultural future. And she goes on and really says some things like sexist, racist, homophobic, misogynistic, when the free thinking and questioning was nothing of the sort. I mean, the way that they just hurled all these things. And then the question becomes, well, is he a Nazi or is he not a Nazi? Because President Biden didn't say he was a Nazi when he said there's going to be a transfer of power that's going to be, you know, smooth. So do they not believe that or do they believe that?
Well, you know, I think what's going to be very interesting is they have put their marker down. We know what they've predicted. You know, they predict that he is going to set the military and the National Guard on people who simply voted against him. No, what he was talking about, it was a Fox News interview with Maria Bartiromo, who clearly was asking him, what if there's riots? What if there's violence in the streets? And he said, well, that's not going to come from my supporters. But if there is, and we have very bad people here in this country, clearly referring to Antifa rioters and their BLM colleagues, then if necessary, yes, we'd have to pull out the National Guard or maybe even the military. He was referring to what happens if there is civic violence in the street. That was turned into, I mean, you could do a list of all of the statements Trump has made that have been yoked wildly out of context. That was turned into Trump is going to go and find that you voted Democrat and he's going to set the National Guard on you.
People believe that, though. That's the thing. It's unreal how this has been manipulated. And then they wonder why people are freaking out, because they've preached this for months now.
Yeah, I agree. But they've made their prediction. So the press has said he's going to set the military on Democrats. He's going to have Liz Cheney shot. He's going to tear up the Constitution. He's going to be a dictator, at least on day one. So let's check it in a year or two. And if there were any justice in the world, Mark, the media would have its tail between its legs and would limp off in the into the distance and say, well, we better sort of rethink things here, because there's a very clear scorecard to see what they have predicted all of the terrible, totalitarian, tyrannical things that Trump is going to do. He will not do any of them, and they've got to be held to account.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens. Heather, great column. You know, we share the same opinion on all this. It's been an emotional week. I think I've lost a couple of friends this week, which is sad, but wow, unbelievable. And again, with the friends, I blame the media, because they've been lied to. These people have been lied to. I thought it was ridiculous years ago when Trump said the media is the enemy of the people. You know, I'm a journalist by trade, whatever that means anymore. I thought it was just utter nonsense. I no longer feel that way.
Well, you know, I was, before the election, I was dreading a Trump win, because I didn't want the increased hostility. You know, my one remaining liberal friend, she stood by me. I didn't want her to walk off. And then the election happened, and I said, I don't give a damn, you know. This is too great. So let them hate us even more. You know, let the nation divide. I don't care. Who could have seen this amazing thing happen?
I'm with you, Heather McDonald. Great piece. You always know I'm a favorite or a fan of yours, so I appreciate it a lot. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.